You to turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 2. Beginning to read at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning, that your Holy Spirit would rest upon us, that you would anoint the preaching of your word, and that you would open up the hearts of all of us to receive it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I think I've been on a little bit of a personal journey regarding certain things over the last couple of years. In many senses, it began with Halloween. I was concerned about, not only was it apparently Christian festival, but what it had become. The distortions that had taken place and how the church had embraced so many of the beliefs and practices more of paganism than of Christianity. And so I started to look at the roots of Halloween. And on that journey, then started to consider other major festivals. Easter, harvest, Christmas. All of which allegedly or apparently have its roots within paganism. The extent of those roots have been overstated by many who are cynical of Christianity. In fact, some of the apparent roots of the resurrection or Easter, or indeed the virgin birth and Christmas that allegedly came from paganism, are just simply untrue. They don't have any historical validity whatsoever. In fact, one of the criticisms of the virgin birth was that it was based on the cult of Mithras, dating back to a Persian god in the 14th century BC. But the first writing we have about Mithras, anything that was written down about him in particular, wasn't written down until the 2nd century AD, which was after Christians had started to write about Jesus. And the reality was that the roots of the Messiah and the roots of the resurrection and the Passover and all of those things came from within Judaism anyway and not from within paganism. And Constantine was really trying to distance himself from their Judaism roots to establish Christianity as separate from that and not stealing ideas from paganism. But that's by the by. But it started me on a personal journey. Are these festivals important? Well, we're going to sit down tomorrow and we're going to celebrate a particular day. At Easter, we're going to come together and we're going to remember Jesus' resurrection. At harvest, we will simply come together and remember his faithfulness. At Halloween, we should remember that he is the light of the world and that we're engaged in a war over darkness to bring the freedom that Christ offers. But here's the personal journey that I'm on. How do we celebrate it? What do we celebrate? What will we get excited about? Can we produce a counterculture in today's heavily commercialized, consumeristic world, which is different? Can we, in fact, truly celebrate Christmas and Easter and harvest in a way that the world looks on with amazement? That we do not get trapped and drawn in and dilute the significance of these days, these moments, these seasons. Because I'm convinced of this, that this gives us such an opportunity to do it right. To actually understand what the Christian calendar is attempting to do. And set Halloween aside, and that's a very different issue. But you look at what we gather together to do at certain times of the year. We gather together at Christmas. We come from various parts of the world to be together as a family. The same thing happens to us at Easter time when we have time together. And they celebrate something of eternal value. Christmas celebrates Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus born into the world. Easter helps us celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That he was on a mission to save the world. And that he defeated and conquered death itself and delivered us from the penalty and power of sin. Harvest reminds us of the fidelity, the faithfulness of this God towards us, regardless of our wanderings, regardless of how we have erred. God has been faithful and blessed us continually throughout the year. And each of these festivals give us the opportunity to centralize our thoughts, to focus our attention on the beauty of the gospel. On the transformation that it brings. And if we could do it right, if we could do it in a way that God intends, what a testimony that would be to the outside world. Let's redeem these festivals. Let's not abandon them. Let's actually restore their value. What they mean to us. How central they are to the Christian calendar and to our homes and to our lives. And to our communities and to our churches. That's the challenge that I'm on. Can we do it? Can we bring back the message into these things in a way that is uncompromising, in a way that is liberating? Because Christmas needs liberated. You look at it. Who hasn't taken headache tablets already? Who hasn't wanted to jump out of the vehicle and shout at the person who has taken your parking spot that you have been waiting on for 10 minutes with your indicator and light and with reverse lights on, but yet they have nipped in? Who hasn't been in the queue with billions of pounds being spent on food that we'll never consume? That we'll stick in the freezer and maybe even buy another one just in case we need it. How many of us get caught up in the stress and strain of Christmas. Bound to the God of consumerism. Trying to placate our children. Going into credit in order that they may have something to talk to their friends about. That's not Christmas. Not as God intended. Let's recover its beauty. Let's find its simplicity. Let's create a counterculture again that remembers the significance of the message. Do you know, I was intrigued. I was reading on Facebook the other day that First Ballymoney Presbyterian, I think it is, doing what probably some other churches do, but it caught my attention because of them opening up their premises on Christmas Day to put on food for people, to open their doors to people who may feel a little bit isolated around the Christmas time. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the counterculture? Isn't that what we're here to share our love, God's grace, to create opportunities for people of all classes and walks of life to be together, to celebrate the goodness of God? You look at it. Who arrived to worship Jesus that day or at that time in their life? Jesus brought together people from very diverse backgrounds to worship him. To think that the shepherds were asked to come and worship Jesus in this very same way that the wise man had been asked. Isn't that wonderful that he brings such diversity together? Creates such opportunity of walking and talking together as people called by God. Oh, that we were just like it. Oh, that we were just like it. We could do it, folks. We could be a people that embrace. We could be a people who once again rediscover the joy of simplicity. Being together at Christmas time, celebrating the gift that God has given us. Sharing God's love with the most unlikely. The shepherds were those who, in some senses, would not be counted worthy to hear the message of Christmas. The religious authorities deemed them as unimportant people. They weren't well educated. They didn't take the top seats. They didn't parade their achievements. Nobody paraded their achievements for them. And yet they said something truly wonderful. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Which the Lord has told us about. Those words arrested me for a few moments. God had spoken to them. People that would not have been included in the religious festivities of the day. God had taken a moment to speak to them. And God has taken a moment to speak to all of us. He sent his Son into the world. Emmanuel, God with us. God with the shepherd. God with the wise man. God with all those that would listen. God with everyone. And the wonderful thing about this is that the shepherds actually believed that the Lord had spoken to them. Which I find amazing. Because they were people that maybe other people wouldn't speak to. There were people that they would bypass them on a regular day. And how many people do we bypass on a regular day? How many people do we avoid on the streets because they make us feel uncomfortable? Yet this Christmas message is about God speaking to the unlikely. God speaking to the shepherds, maybe people that no one else would take time to be with. Yet God was taking time to be with them. Yet God was calling them to come and worship His Son. I love the gospel because it's a gospel that includes the broken. It's a gospel that reaches those who no one else wanted to reach. God wanted to reach down and find a people that would worship Him. And He began not with the wise men, though He was calling them from a distance, but He took the shepherds as His example. And the first people to come and worship and fall down before Jesus, the shepherd. And that's a wonderful message. Never let's lose the beauty of Christmas, the power of the Christian message. What is it? Verse 10 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Let's open our doors at Christmas time. Let's start to bring in people that no one else will take time for. Let's share with our families, that Christian families, that this is what life is about. The good news that God came for all people. Not that we get or that we receive, but that we give. And we give away because Jesus gave Himself on the cross. A life of sacrifice for the beauty of others. Wouldn't that be a wonderful Christmas time, that God is with us all? That we would show tenderness and grace to those around us that no one else ever spends a moment with? And wouldn't that liberate us from the stress and strains of life? I hope we can recover some of its simplicity. I hope we can recover some of its joy. I hope we can recover some of its love. I hope that the message of Christmas, that is the beginning of the liberation of the world, begins to liberate us and liberate others. The true joy is about a relationship with God and with each other. That it's not trying to win the affection of someone. How much do we need to let go of in order to truly receive? How much simpler do we need to make it in order to enjoy it? How much do we need to be together to celebrate that He came for all of us? What about an alternative Christmas produced by an alternative life? Wouldn't that be the joy of discovery? I think the older you get, the less complicated life you get. For you begin to prioritize what's important. You're no longer out to impress. You're no longer seeking to buy the affections of others. You simply want to celebrate what you've received. Have you been blessed? Have you? Have you been truly blessed? Because Christmas reminds us of the blessings we get, and they are much simpler than we can imagine. The air we breathe, the clothes we wear, the friends we have, the friendship with God that is offered, the joy of the simple things, are the pleasures that we should enjoy. I hope as we go on a journey as a church, as a community of faith, that we rediscover the beauty of these messages, Christmas, Easter, and harvest. A God who came, a Jesus who died, and a God that's faithful. to each one of us. When you wake up tomorrow morning, and when you're sitting together, you will do instinctively the first of these things. You will look at those that you're with, and you will be grateful that you're with them, or at least you should be. God has placed them in your life. You will give presents to them. You hope that they like them. If they don't, they should be gracious enough to receive them. Or else they've missed the meaning of Christmas. And you will do that instinctively. You will do that as God's people. I know you will. You will bless God for blessing you. But take a moment, and here's the challenge. How do we then bless others? On that most particular and important day. And here's the challenge for me. And it's maybe where we have been sucked into the world. We say that that's our family day. But is it? Because that wasn't the first Christmas. The first Christmas was about God bringing people who'd been excluded to share a wonderful message. How do we do the same? How do we genuinely do the same? And would God bless us if we gave up that for the sake of the lonely and the lost and the hurting and the broken? Would we discover something about Christmas that we had otherwise missed? Would we focus on something more eternal than temporal? And would, in fact, that blessing outstrip anything that could be bought or brought to us? When that day we sat with someone that never felt loved, never felt included, never felt cared for, and for the first time believed that God had spoken to them. Like the shepherds, the Lord has spoken to us. Would that not bring a smile to your face to see someone who believed there was hope because Jesus truly had been born not only into the world, but we had been born from above. And we have been changed because of Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, in these moments, we ask that the ministry of your word and song would spark a transformation in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.